Shabbat shalom. Living in New York City, one cannot walk very far without being bombarded with images on posters, flyers, and screens petitioning for our attention. I was walking with my 9-year-old son when we were accosted by a particularly graphic image on a movie poster. It was a horror of blood, veins, and insects imposed on a decomposing face. As my son noticed it, I found myself trying to explain why many human beings are fascinated by depictions of violence. I started to talk about video games, where the point is to shoot paintballs or destroy animated ducks. Isn't it striking that so many of these video games are focused on the narrative of destruction and death? And while many parents bemoan the violence of video games, this fascination with violence and death is nothing new. It has ancient origins. In this week's Torah portion, we read the stunning and controversial story about the sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu. Nadav and Avihu are consumed by fire when each of them took a fire pan with incense, brought it into the sanctuary altar, and placed upon it what is referred to as Esh Zara, strange fire, as an offering to God. Suddenly, without warning, Nadav and Avihu are instantly killed. It is a startling and frightening story that has left scholars and rabbis pondering for millennia. Was it a message to future leaders not to usurp power, as Nadav and Avihu did, by going into a holy space without permission? Or maybe it was a message about a younger generation misinterpreting what was expected of them, as Nadav and Avihu apparently did. They did not use the correct offering. Rather, they brought Esh Zara, a strange fire, into a holy place. But maybe we can talk about the story in a different way. Perhaps this story has a similar function to a modern horror story. Why do some of us love scary films? Why do we read Stephen King novels? These narratives give us an opportunity to enter an anxious space, to flirt with boundaries. Acclaimed child psychologist Bruno Bettelheim wrote a book about this titled The Uses of Enchantment, The Meaning and Importance of Fairy Tales. In it, Bettelheim writes, "The child intuitively comprehends that although these stories are unreal, they are not untrue. Stories like Nadav and Avihu work to do a number of things. First off, they wake us up. They get our adrenaline going and make us pay attention while giving us a safe proximity to death. They allow us to ponder the transience of life and random violence from the safe distance of narrative. After all, it's only a story. We find similar moments all throughout the Torah. The expulsion from the Garden of Eden, the flood during the years of Noah, Abraham's near sacrifice of his beloved son Isaac. The Torah is not just filled with awe, but also with dread. The story of Nadav and Avihu takes place during the initial setup of the priestly cult, with newly established rites and rituals setting out the perimeters of what it means to be a holy people. The Israelites are in the desert figuring out how to be a civilization founded on a covenantal relationship with God, including specific laws and practices. Just as a thriller or horror film tells a story of how something threatens order and stability, the story of Nadav and Avihu is a warning story about stepping out of the perimeters of holy conduct, the Torah commands of the priest. What is Esh Zara anyway? What is strange fire? How do we define strange fire today? Risky behavior that pulls us into dangerous situations? In the film Free Solo, Alex Honnold, the world's top free solo climber, succeeded in climbing Yosemite's El Capitan, without using any ropes, harnesses, or protective gear. This is a perfect example of what I think of as playing with Eshtara, strange fire. As we should not rightfully believe that we can scale a treacherously steep mountain, thousands of feet tall, without any climbing equipment. In the film, Honnold says, "I don't want to fall off and die either, but there's a satisfaction in challenging yourself to doing something well. That feeling is heightened when you're facing death. If you're seeking perfection, free soloing is as close as you can get. And it does feel good to feel perfect, even for a brief moment." So is Honnold a hero because he faced Eshtara and survived? Or was he foolish and fortunate? When we walk out of the movie or finish reading the horror story and come back to our ordinary reality, it's natural to feel relieved and deeply appreciative. A perhaps hidden benefit to such stories is that they can actually help us reconnect with a sense of gratitude and simple appreciation. Kind of like how we feel when waking up from a nightmare and putting it behind us. After Nadav and Avihu are killed, Moses tries to rationalize their death to Aaron. But Aaron, the aggrieved father, is silent. Aaron's silence is perhaps the part of the story that is not about strange fire, but about an honest human response to a terrible tragedy. The narratives of Aaron's sons and horror films and thrill seekers' exploits may be satisfying when our own lives reflect calm, normalcy, peace, and stability. Yet Aaron's silence reminds us that the real world is not always that place. In many ways, this moment in the Torah is an aching reminder of the potential for chaos and the suffering it brings to all in its midst. We are almost at Passover when we read the Haggadah, a narrative which includes depictions of drowning, slavery, plagues, destruction, and violence. The story gives us an opportunity to touch our anxiety about death from a distance. But the rabbis say that when we have finished the Seder, we are supposed to feel as if we too have personally gone through the Exodus from Egypt. We are told to do this so that we build empathy and compassion for those who are still enslaved by hunger, homelessness, sickness, and more. May our encounters with strange fire help us to pay attention to the blessings we have in our lives, the blessing of life itself, and the blessings we can be to others. Shabbat Shalom.